the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and cast it in the sea, and it shall obey you. In Matthew 17, 20, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But see, it takes time to grow this mustard seed faith. I have had to go through so much in my life, in my walk, trying to do all things on my own with little to no result. I've had to come to the point in my life where I truly submit to God, stand on faith, and allow Him to work in my life. If we don't stand on these truths, then we're limiting God. I said this last week to the kids. I said it last week that it begins with and whenever distracted or off course goes back to Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is that will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We cannot and should not look like this world. We should and we need to be in His Word constantly. We not only need to understand who we are, but we need to also understand whose we are. When we went through our identity series, what did we learn about who and whose we are, Stephen? The Lord's. I told the kids that we are children of God. And with being part of children of God came with an inheritance, it came with an authority, it came with the ability to stand in front of your mountains and tell them to move and know with faith that they have to be moved. So it's very important when you're building the foundation of who you are to understand whose you are, to understand the authority that was given to you. There should be a difference between Christians and those who don't know God. Some of you are as sick as your neighbors, depressed as your neighbors, negative as your neighbors. They don't even know God. Todd White said it best. He's a minister that I like to listen to. He said that when you squeeze an orange, we expect to see orange juice come out. But if we were to squeeze an orange and apple juice came out, we'd be shocked because we know that that orange should produce the juice of its kind. So when a Christian gets squeezed, unfortunately, everything but Jesus comes out sometimes. Right? I know. Guilty. Chad was talking about road rage, and I saw this guy. He passed by me a couple weeks ago. Shroom! And I'm like, cut me off. So I pulled up side by side with him, and I was getting ready to look out my window, and there's Pastor Chad. I'm putting him on blast. I swear I cannot make this up. It was Pastor Chad. He's like, and I was ready, you know, and I've toned myself down. I wasn't going to, like, curse them out or anything, but I've started this thing where I'll just smile at somebody who cut me off and wave at them, kind of be, you know, playful. And I got next to him, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Pastor Chad. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I couldn't believe it, man. There ought to be a difference. See, God made us more than we are experiencing in our lives. God made us for more than average. Andrew Womack said that if we are average, that means we aren't good or bad. We're lukewarm. God made us all special. If we aren't feeling that way, then we need to take the limits off of God. And this is not only true in our health, in our finances, and the things that are happening in the world, but it is also true in the spiritual realm. If we are not seeking Him, listening to Him, or building a close relationship with Him, if we are not speaking to our circumstances and expecting to see victory in every aspect of our lives, then we are limiting God in the way we think. So are we limiting God? Are we limiting what he wants to do for us, through us, by comparing us, ourselves, with others? Do we really want to be just like everybody else, experiencing the same sickness, the same depression, the same emotional problems? We need to go to the Word to find out what it says. In Deuteronomy 28:13, it says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them." We are supposed to be above and not beneath. We're supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to rejoice in the middle of our struggles. James 1:2-4 tells us about that. He says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." There are no excuses, but there are reasons why we go through what we go through. I'm not saying that we live in a perfect world and everything's going to be okay just because we received God. That's not what's going to happen. It promises us it won't. I am saying that God did not create anyone for failure. So if you have failed, he doesn't want you to live there. He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to accept failure, because that was never what he intended to have in your life. He loves you. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." He wants you to win. He created you to win. These next scriptures, as I was putting this all together, really, really blessed me. And I thought it felt perfect with everything. And I really encourage you guys to listen to it. I encourage you to let it sink into your hearts, because it is a beautiful picture that was painted by God to tell you exactly what he had in store for you. Because they definitely don't sound like a God that wants to see you fail. It doesn't sound like a God who wants to see you back. It doesn't sound like a God that wants to see you go to be content staying in a bad place. Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock and in the fruit of your ground within the land of the Lord swore within the land that the Lord swore to your father to give you. The Lord will open you his good treasures, the heaven, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." As I was going through this, I was just thinking about how amazing is the work that he's done in our lives, my lives, and most of your guys' lives. When I came in here 13 years ago, I was broken. I didn't even come in here because I wanted God. I came in here because I didn't want my wife to leave me. I didn't. But Pastor Lee stood up here, and from day one, it seemed like I remember standing in this room. Matter of fact, it was like not even to the sound booth. It was a small little section. I sat in this room, and it seemed like all the lights went out, and it seemed like this man was sitting up here talking just to me. Just to me, and it was like that every week as I came, and I hungered, and I hungered. We all go through so many struggles, and a lot of the time, it's because we believe that we don't deserve more. That was one of my biggest hangups. I thought that I didn't deserve anything better. I couldn't comprehend why a God would ever give me the grace to forgive me of everything I ever did. I was so down on myself, but everything that I just said is a limitation that I put on God. I wouldn't allow him to work inside of me, because we have to do that. God's not going to force you to get right. God's not going to push you to do things that you should do. And that's why it's important as you young kids start to build godly relationships. A godly relationship will encourage, lift, and build you up. A godly relationship will lead you into a relationship with the Father. If it's leading you into doing things that you know that you shouldn't do, then that's not of God. But the world puts so much pressure on you younger kids nowadays. It tells you that you have to be this, you have to be that in order to fit in. But as I read in Romans 12:2, we weren't meant to fit in. You guys are children of God. You guys don't belong to this earth. This earth was not meant for you to be a part of, to fit in. The reason why I love this book, and I've been teaching out of it so much, is because I have come to a point in my life where I want everything that God has to offer. I know a lot of you guys want the same thing. I don't want a piece of God. I want everything he has to offer me. And so if I'm not willing to open up my door and say, God, not only do I want what you have to give me, but I want you to use me. I want you to give me everything that you have for me. And we can say these things all we want, but if we keep blocking him, saying, oh, we're not enough, I can't do this, I'm not strong enough, I'm scared, you don't understand what I've done in my life. You don't understand what I've seen in my life. You don't understand what I've been through in my life. All those different scenarios are excuses that put a limitation on what he can do inside your life. You limit him. You stop him. You have to stop stopping him. And one of the biggest lies that the enemy will give you is that because you messed up today, you can't go to God. I'll tell you, there's been so many times where I've stood in my bathroom. I told you guys this before. I'll stand in my shower and I will just yell at the devil. I will. That's my time where I get to tell the devil, I'll do it in the car. I get pumped up in my car. You'll see me. Sometimes it looks like I'm yelling at somebody. I'm yelling at somebody on the phone because I'm in my car like, and people will drive by me like looking at me funny like, what are you doing? And I'm like, man, I'll drive to work and I'll tell the devil what I think about him. You filthy little sucker, you've got no place in my wife's, my relationship, my household, my children, my job, my this, my bank account, my finances, my cars, my children, my grandchildren, and I'll just go off on him and let him know where I stand. Let him know that I'm beginning to understand exactly what my authority. Because it's not about how good I am. It's not about how perfect I can make myself today. It's about how good he is. And I got to get my butt out of the way so he can come in and take over. I have to stop getting in his way. We say, but God. I always tell the youth kids, I say, you got to be careful where you put your butts. And they always giggle. But I tell them, you got to be careful where you put your butts. And then I get the little giggle, and then we get serious, and I'll tell him, it's very important where you put your butts. I can't, but God can. I'm struggling today because of this, but God. You know, for me, it's my back, but God. You know? And I'd be careful where I put these things. And as I said in the beginning of this message, it starts with the word spoken. You have to start speaking these spiritual truths over your life. And I guarantee you there's already somebody doing it for you because you wouldn't be here. The problem with that is you have to do it too. I can pray for you until I'm blue in the face, but if you're not willing to accept it and start speaking these truths over your own life, it doesn't really go anywhere. We have to renew our minds. How do we renew our minds? It's more than just coming in here on Sunday or coming to church on Wednesday, although it's great. Pastor Chad does a great job, and we have a lot of fun in there. But you have to study this word. You have to open up your Bibles. As I told you guys last week, you guys, we're in the age of now. We're in a microwave era. Everything you want is right there. Push two minutes and your hot pocket's hot. We got phones, we got iPads, we got Bibles, we got so many different ways for you to download a Bible. You have to be hungry for it. You have to thirst for it. You have to make it everything that you want to see things happen. And I'll tell you what, even when I didn't walk it all the way as much as I am now, I was still seeing God move. Transformation began to take place when I was coming in. I couldn't come in here without smoking a rock. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't come into this church without smoking something. That's how bad I was. I would come in here every Wednesday, and Pastor Lee, God bless his soul, would sit back, would watch me as I'm in the back of the, behind all the chairs, walking back and forth. He never condemned me. He never pointed it out. He loved me. He encouraged me. He prayed for me. He prayed with me. And there was many times where I gave up because I felt like I wasn't enough. And Mama Carol would pray with Shamini, and Sally and Pat would be praying over us, believing and believing and believing. So many other people would believe and believe. And God began to transform me. And transform me. I mean, you can ask some of them. I am not the same person I was when I got here. I'm not. And it has nothing to do with how great I am. Nothing at all. It has everything to do with how great he is. If he can take somebody like me and radically transform me into what I am today, then he can do anything. He can do it in your guys' lives. He can do it in your walks. Kind of scared because I was told not to go over a certain time and got myself a little short. But I just want to encourage you guys, you youngsters in here, to seek him. I really want you guys to let this sink in. I really want you guys to think, what am I doing to limit God? What limitations am I putting on him? What am I stopping him from doing in my life? What am I doing? If you genuinely have a desire for him, seek him with everything. We've gone over it before, and I'm guilty. First thing I do when I wake up in the mornings, I roll over, I grab my phone, and I look at Facebook. And I'll scroll, or me and my wife will watch a TV. That's 45 minutes right there that I could have spent reading my Bible. And I try to, and I even justify it because I'll be like, okay, open up my Bible app, read the Bible, the verse of the day. Okay, well, I got it in. That took me 5 seconds. Now I'm back to TV or something. But you know what, though? That verse will sit with me and eat away at my head all day long. It'll bug me. And some of them will be so, like, I read this one the other day. I probably couldn't even find it. Right? But it was super confusing. And it bugged me all day long, and I thought about it. But that's amazing because I sat with God's word in my head all day long, and I chewed on it, and I chewed on it, and I chewed on it, And I meditated and I meditated. And when I couldn't get it and I couldn't take it enough, I pulled over and I called my friend Bobby Phoenix. And I'm like, bro, you've got to explain this one to me because this one's just. And he calls me up and he's like, hey, bro. So this man, he was right there the whole time. But it was amazing to me because I sat there with God's word and it soaked in. And when I didn't get it, I went to somebody. There are so many opportunities that you guys have to call me, Shamini, Tyler, and or Steven, and find out what something is, to talk about us, to ask for prayer, ask for encouragement. I'll close with just a quick reminder. Okay. Soak it in. What are we doing that's limiting God? What can we do to stop putting limitations on God? You know, I know some things about some of you guys in here. I know that there's a struggle. I know that it's not always great outside of this building for you. I get that. You guys have an amazing opportunity. And I'm going to tell you this from my experience. God will transform you in a way that will transform your circumstances outside of these. See, sometimes we think because we're so little and we're so young that we don't really have a voice. But the truth is, as God comes into your hearts and begins to transform you, you take that home. You smile more at home. You walk different at home. As Pastor Lee says, you smell different at home. You smell different at home. It's something that can't be ignored. People begin to notice a change and they begin to get curious. They want to know what this change is. They want to see where it's coming from, what's going on. He seems weird, he's different. And when they find out that you're different because of what God is doing in your life, that opens the door for change in them. And it'll grow. And it'll grow. Our job is to plant seeds everywhere we go. I tell you guys, I like to go to the store and I like to just smile at the cash register, the people at the register, and they look all grumpy and just tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. And this one lady, one time, she looked really bad, like she's just going through something. And I smiled at her again. I said, no, hey, serious, Jesus loves you. And I walked out of the store. I'm sitting in my car, and I can see her through the window, and she still got a big smile on her face. For however long that smile lasted, me telling her that Jesus loved her changed her circumstance. Even if it was just for 15 minutes, she experienced the love from her Father. It was beyond anything that she's ever experienced in her life. That's our job. That's each and every one of our jobs. As I said earlier, we're Christians. We're called to be different. We should be different. Our life should not look like the neighbors, even though we might be going through something, and we will be going through something. I go through something quite a bit, but it's how I go through it that matters. Our life should be different. The way we handle situations should be different. We are not called to sit there with our next door neighbor and get drunk and complain about all the things in our lives. We're called to keep our focus on Him and to share what God can do in our lives, what God is doing in our lives. I know some of you guys have really experienced God's presence in your life. Share it. Smile at somebody. Tell a cash register lady that Jesus loves her, especially in Safeway. Especially at Safeway and Burger King. I'm just up there. Sally.
That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. For you kids, I just felt the Lord wanted me to tell you that you really are born for such a time as this. Right now. You were born for this time. And the heart's cry of God is, go find my little children that are lost in the wilderness and bring them home. Go find my little children that are lost in the wilderness and bring them home. And for you guys, I have no idea what this means, but I saw two mountains. One was a big one and one was smaller. And I saw them shaking. And the Lord said, I am shaking the foundation of the mountain. And there will come a time when you will not have to speak to it. You will snap your fingers at it and it will fall to the ground. And it will amaze you. But it will happen because I have shaken the foundation. I am shaking the foundation. Be prepared.
We're going to sing another song. It's about God's promises. And we've been teaching our kids. When I say our kids, I mean our kids. About God's promises, who they are in Christ. And this is for you guys too. If you want to be dismissed, you can be. You don't have to stay. I know it's close to you guys' dismissal time, but we're going to stay here and worship a little bit longer. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do so.
You're the God of covenants, faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. Let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will. Praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me.
If you guys need prayer, we have a prayer team. Richie, Tyler, we're here. Stephen,
you remain the same.
Don't leave here unchanged.
Age, though the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come. Faithfulness from the rising
to your foundation. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, you have all the promises of Abraham. His promises are yes and amen. And he will never, ever, ever, ever fail you. God with, and you speak to that. Say no more. Jesus, I still bless you. In the middle of depression, I still bless you. In the middle of anxiety and troubles.
Yes, I'll still bless you.
In the middle of whatever it is you're going through.
In the middle of the storm.
I still bless you, Jesus.
In the middle of my trial. I still bless you. In the middle of the road when I don't know where to go. I'll still bless you in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my trial. I'll still bless you when I'm in the middle of the road and I don't know which way to go. I still bless you. I've got a reason to
I thank you, Jesus, for every single person in this room, that they leave 100% changed in Jesus' name. You can let it go, babe. Let it go. It's okay. They can rock on out. You guys have a good night in Jesus' name.